Well, here we are, a couple days away from a big decision, right? You know, and as I've been thinking about this election, you know, most people look at it as a competition, a battle between, in this case, a man and a woman wanting to be elected as president. But you know, as I've been just praying and thinking about it, it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. First of all, whether you really realize it or not, the president really doesn't have as much power alone as you think he does or she does. Most, if not almost all of everything has to be approved by Congress. Yes, they can make, what do they call them, executive orders. But you know what? Even those get challenged in courts. And they get knocked down or held up, whatever the case may be. So what we're really voting for is not an individual who you like better. I like this one better than that one. You're voting for a government. What government do you want to have over you for the next 4 or 8 years? Do you want to have the same government that's been in place? Do you want to have a new government? And each government has its strengths, its weaknesses, its purposes, its agenda. So it's a matter of decision. Don't vote for an individual, but vote for who's going to be in control of this country. When I say who, I mean what government is going to be in control of this country. And what you obviously want is a government that lines up as much as possible with those issues and those principles and those, whatever you might want to call it, passing laws or whatever, that are going to line up with who you are and what you believe in. That's what it comes down to. So here we are just a couple days away. You know, the world is in a very, very precarious place right now. Very, very precarious place right now. There's so much going on and so much changing. So much changing. And, you know, and I've been hearing more and more over the course of the last maybe 5 years or so. I mean, it's been even longer than that, but especially over the last 5 years or so, so much talk about the Lord returning. And, you know, we say, he's got to come back. I mean, look at what's going on in the world today. You know, and there's been words given. There's been preached. There's been teaching taught on the second coming of Christ. There's been prophetic words all over the place on how this must be the time. But, you know, as you look back and you go back generations, I'm sure there have been many times in the past, generations, decades, centuries, that people truly believed the Lord's got to return now. Look at the condition. Look at what's going on in the world. If you look back over different situations, you know, you maybe look at some of the wars, the Vietnam War. What a horror! What a terrible thing it was, and the senseless loss of life, and the horror, and the families that were said, "Ah, the Lord's got to return." You look back at maybe as far as World War II. What a horrific war! The Holocaust, God's chosen people, God's, you've got it, you must return now. Look back as far as the Middle Ages, the Crusades, the violence in the name of religion and God very often. How could it get any worse? I mean, it was horrific. You can even go back to biblical times, when nation would rise up against another nation and so violently eliminate them, men, women, children, cattle, beasts, everything. Just this, you say, God's got to come back now. So this is really nothing new. So why should we think now that this must be the time when the second coming is very close? What's different about this time than all those other times, which are only a few that I've shared with you even right now? So I began thinking, what really moves God? What really moves him to do something very extreme, very drastic? Two situations came to mind. One, couldn't get any bigger than that, was Noah and the flood. Why? Why? What moved God so much so in that time that caused him to destroy the earth, to destroy the world? Well, I mean, Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us exactly why. And here's why. He saw that humanity had become extremely wicked and violent. Well, you say, well, but that's been so many times before and after. But it goes on, and it qualifies. He saw that humanity had become extremely wicked and violent now, with every intention of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. The heart. It was the heart of man that had become so far gone that all his thoughts were continually for evil. It was the condition of the society. It wasn't the violence. It wasn't the senseless killings or that we've seen throughout the generations, throughout the millennium. It was that every intention of the thought of the heart was only continually evil. What's the second major thing to me where God was really moved to act in an extreme way? Comes to mind Sodom and Gomorrah. That society had become so perverse, so wicked, that every thought of their heart was evil. The homosexuality, the perversion, those are conditions of the heart. And when God saw that the condition of the heart of those people was desperately wicked and continually evil, he destroyed them. So I say, so what makes our generation, this time that we're in now, different, that might just move the hand of God to do something extreme? Think about the society we live in today. Think about the laws that are being passed. Think about the whole gay movement, the gender neutral, gender transition, transgender, the no gender. The proposals that men can become women and women can become men and they can go and women's locker rooms and so on and so forth, and playing the perversion and the wickedness of the heart of men in this day and age is as bad as it was in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I heard somebody once say that if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for what he did. So I believe now, you won't see this. You can go home this afternoon. Beautiful day, the sky is blue, the sun is shining. And you can take a walk down your block, and everything will seem beautiful. The trees are pretty. The leaves are falling. You may run into a neighbor or two and say, hi, how are you? How you doing? How's things going? Everything just seems beautiful. But behind the scenes, society is changing. And it is changing in a way that I agree with many of the prophecies and many of the teachings that we are more ripe right now for the second coming of our Lord than in any time of all those things I mentioned in the past, the horrificness, the wickedness, the violence. Even during those times, the morality was better than it is now. Up until, I remember growing up as a kid. Everybody, and I've said this before, everybody agreed on what was right, what was wrong, what was good, what was bad, what was moral, what was immoral, what was acceptable, what was everybody agreed on it. You could even discipline other people's kids. Because you know those parents would agree. They needed a good swift kick or something. It's not that way today. The heart has become desperately wicked in so many people that I believe we are riper than ever for the second coming of the Lord. But now, we said it's the second coming. He came once, right? He came once. And when he came, there really, if you stop and think about it, there was no real fanfare. There wasn't, he didn't come down like we have graduation, pomp and circumstance, and the band was playing. He was born in a manger, in a dirty, smelly manger, in a barn someplace amongst animals. Yeah, there was, there was the star in the east that the wise men saw. Who else saw it? Hardly anybody else. The shepherds were visited by angels in the field, but who else saw them? Really, nobody really even knew that he had come. When word got back to Herod, obviously he became upset because he heard that a king had been born, and it threatened him, okay? But then look what happened. As he grew up and he began his ministry, here the people in Jerusalem who were awaiting their Messiah, and they had gotten word, and they believed he had finally come, and they welcomed him as he rode in with hosannas and the palm branches and the worship and everything, to only a couple days later, all of that changed to shouts of crucify him. Because he came as the Lamb of God. He came as a sacrificial lamb. The Word of God says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And yet he opened not his mouth. And he allowed them. He allowed himself to be betrayed. He allowed himself to be scourged and whipped and beaten and hung on that tree. And even in his dying breath, what does he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. There was no fanfare and glory. Yes, yes, the earth shook. The day grew dark. But as meek and mild as he was, there was power. If you remember, couldn't help but a little bit of his power leak out. If you remember the scene in the garden when Judas had betrayed him and he brought a legion of soldiers, and the soldiers approached Jesus. They say, we're looking for, he says, who are you looking for? We're looking for this Jesus of Nazareth. And all he says is, I am he. And they fell backwards, knocked to the ground, just by the power of him saying, I am he. But yet, he allowed himself, he was the lamb. However, His second coming. His second coming is going to be totally different. He's not coming as the Lamb of God. He's not coming as a sacrificial lamb. He's coming as the Lion of Judah. And his coming is going to be witnessed by every single person on the face of the earth. The eastern sky is going to split. He's going to come riding in power and in might. The graves are going to open. Who's going to miss that? The graves are going to open, and those of us who are alive and remain, that means remaining in the faith, will be caught up with him in the air. There'll be no mistake. So why am I sharing this? Because for those who aren't alive and remaining in the faith, it's going to be a dreadful day. Because the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this earth. There will be no forgive them, for they know not what they do. It'll be you're being held accountable for what you've done or haven't done. And the wrath of God will be poured out in a way. It says he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Unbelievable. That's why it is so important for us. We're living in it. God has revealed to us, if you can sense in your spirit, like I was sharing before, this may be the very hour. The conditions are so ripe for his coming. It's no longer time for us to be shy about our faith. It's no longer time for us to be a little timid. Well, I don't want, what are they going to think about? Think of me, you know, if I share about the gospel, you know. Now it's no time for that. It's time for us to be as bold as possible, to win as many as possible. He may be coming. And he may be coming very, very soon. Amen. You know, we've been going through a refining. He's been refining us. The things we walk through, the difficult situations, our faith is being tested. You have to realize that. When these certain situations come up in our lives, something like, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Look at Gladys. All of a sudden, her son is gone. We have situations like this in our lives. That we're being tested, we're being tried, we're being refined now. So that when he does come, in the word says, those who are alive and remain. We must remain in the faith. It's so easy for us to walk away and say, that's it, I've had it. God, what kind of a God are you? How do you allow something like this? We must remain in the faith, and we must open our mouths and be useful vessels as ambassadors of the Lord as much as possible. Amen? Amen. Pastor Dye, do you want to share? You want to share something else in regard? Whether it's in regard to it. Come on up. Come on, join me. It's all right. I'll allow you. Yeah, I'm going to take care of that. Hallelujah.
I don't know. We didn't have anything planned because we wanted to be open to God. God wants to move, you know. And when we make so many plans, sometimes we don't allow God any room to move. But God moved in you. So that was pretty cool. I don't know. I have a lot on my mind. We didn't prepare anything for on purpose. But as Pastor was speaking, I think these are the most exciting times to be alive. And, you know, as we said so many times, we were chosen for this time with purpose. We have so much purpose. And I think that there's such an anointing on the church in this day and hour that when we pray, we may not feel, you know, we're moving mountains, but I do feel that the church of today is very anointed and very powerful and making a difference. For one example, we know that right now there's so much demonic prayer against, say, President Trump. They are witches. I did a study on witches for years, and they're up all night praying against him. And so there was a little article that maybe many of us read that no matter how hard they're praying, they're saying that nothing's happening. Did you hear me? I'm talking about people that are praying against him. I'm talking about witches. There are witches. There are warlocks. I'm sorry, but there are. And they're praying and they're fasting and they're doing all kinds of things. But they're actually saying, there was an article that they're stunned because nothing's happening. And their greatest attempt with the bullet was to kill him, and it's not working.
They said it was because of prayer.
Yeah, and they said they do believe that it was because of prayer, and even to this day, because of prayer. So we're here on the earth at such a time as this, and we may think, you know, we throw up our little prayers once in a while, but we are very powerful. The church of the last hour, I'll call it, there's more power on us, and the power is increasing. So we have to know who we are. Amen? And Amen. Have a clear mind. And what the enemy is trying to do, because I don't think that the enemy could touch the church just the way the enemy can't touch maybe President Trump. That there is a seal on us, and there's protection on the church. Because not only does God love us so much, he loves the whole world, but also he has called us to this end time purpose, right?
Yeah.
Right. So stay awake. So the enemy would throw so many darts at us. You know, all of a sudden, like Pastor said, all of a sudden our children could be being attacked or you know, all kinds of all different situations. But stay strong in your faith. Stay strong in the Lord. Pray, know that your prayers are making a difference. And you know what? I've gotten to the point where, you know, I would pray for my kids and things are happening in my family. Beautiful, beautiful things are happening in my family. But it seemed like the more I was praying, especially for one or two of them, they were being attacked more. So, you know, you want to, as a mother, oh, you know, but at the same time, Lord, you're doing it, right? You are doing it. And it's in his hands. And he will never leave us, never forsake us, never disappoint us. God's got it all in control. Amen. Amen, amen. I was thinking that it would be a good day to, and my husband didn't have anything planned, neither did I, but what we did have on our hearts last night was to call the body to pray now, today. And
we'll do that at the end.
You want to do that yet? So you have something else that you wanted to do?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So that's what we're going to do at the end. Let's pray. Let's come together in agreement and stand and pray for America. Okay. I mean, I wasn't compared, you know.
Okay. Before we do anything else, today is also Mission Sunday. So I'm going to ask the ushers to get ready again. You know, on the first Sunday of the month, we always collect an offering specifically and especially for our missionaries. So everything that goes into this offering is used to help to support those that are here at home and those that are abroad, because they need our support more than ever, as we've shared that with you. And we do have people all over the world, in Spain and in Italy and in Germany, and many of them here at home. And there are atrocities going on even over there. Not only societal atrocities, but even you look at what's happened in Spain with all this flooding, and it's horrific. You know, we have it here at home. We had it in Tennessee and North Carolina, and those people are still devastated. But there's so much going on, you know, all over the world. Where'd my ushers go? What happened? Oh, here they come. Hallelujah. Fathers, we receive this offering specifically for our missionaries who have dedicated their lives because they've been called to do so, and they've laid down their lives, they've sacrificed their lives, and the comforts and the creature comforts they could have had here at home, Lord, but they're abroad or they're even at home here in ministries that are reaching the lost, evangelizing and helping. Father, we pray as we receive this, you'd multiply it, and as we send it out, it would bless and help support them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, as many of you who know me, very often I'll take a song, the lyrics to a song, because I actually believe that God has inspired, given songwriters insight into things that are going on in the world and in society. And they put it to song. And very often, we don't even catch it. I've caught myself, you know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, you know, so all the songs from back then, you know, we knew them all and we sang them all. And very often I'll hear one on the radio and I'll remember it, whatever. But we never really paid attention, that much attention to the words, what the words to those songs really meant. And much of them was speaking to the day and age that we lived in. There were songs about the Vietnam War, you know, and some of them very profound and deep. And unless you pay attention to the lyrics, and I found very often that even some of the songs we sing here, you know, you sing them and you're in worship and your eyes are closed and you're not really applying the words or listening to them and hearing what that writer was writing at the time. And I can't, now this, you're going to find this probably to be funny, but even some of the theme songs to TV shows, whatever, I have to confess I like TV. I grew up in a household. My mother loved TV. She'd get up in the morning. First thing she'd do is turn the TV on. There were the game shows, The Price is Right, and all these things all day long. Then the afternoon was the soap operas, As the World Turns. And then the nighttime was, you know, there was so many different ones. I ended up growing up and becoming a TV repairman. So I fixed TVs. I've lived around TVs. You know, so very often, you know, at night, I'll watch some TV. There's not very much to watch anymore. Everything I watch nowadays is reruns from comedy shows or other situational shows, the Law and Orders and things like that, you know, from 20 years ago and 30 years ago. Well, there's one particular show I happen to like. It's really corny in some of its ways. It's one of these law type of shows. Many of you may know it. It's from over 20 years ago. Name of the show is Monk. Anybody ever here ever watch Monk? He cracks me up. You know, here he is, an ex-detective, serious case of OCD. You know, I mean, to the extreme, he's a germaphobe, he's an everything, phobophobe. You know, he's afraid of everything and anything.
I don't know if you've ever listened, and I say this because of the times we live in, that the theme song to that show was written over 20 years ago. Okay? Long before COVID and much of this whole gender garbage that's going on out here and so much stuff. And I don't know if you've ever paid attention to the words. I want to read you the words to this theme song. Hey, you think I'm crazy. Listen to this. First of all, the title to the theme song is "It's a Jungle Out There." Now listen to the words. It's a jungle out there. Disorder and confusion everywhere. This is over 20 years ago. And no one seems to care. Well, I do. Hey, who's in charge here? Wow, is that relevant to today? There's disorder and confusion everywhere, and it seems like nobody cares. Nobody's doing anything about it. He says, who's in charge? Who's in charge? Is Biden in charge? Oh, come on, there's people behind the scenes there, the Soros and the this one and the that one, and the Gates, and who's in charge here? Here's the next verse. It's a jungle out there. Poison in the very air we breathe. Pre-COVID. Way pre-COVID. You know what's in the water that you drink? Well, I do. And it's amazing. People think I'm crazy because I worry all the time. If you paid attention, you'd be worried too. Well, you better pay attention, or this world you love so much might just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so, because it's a jungle out there. Next verse. It's a jungle out there. Violence and danger everywhere. It's brother against brother, pounding on each other. I don't really know what this means, like they were legionnaires. But listen to this one. Over 20 years ago. It's a jungle in here, too. You got a tap right on your phone. A microphone and camera checking out everything you do. Call it paranoia, but as the saying goes, even paranoids have enemies. I'm not the one who's crazy. I'm not afraid of them. In fact, they're afraid of you and me. I could be wrong there, but I don't think so. Because it's a jungle out there. And the final one. It's a jungle out there. Even the cops are scared today. How about we defund the police? This is long before that. So if you see it's kind of joking. So if you see a uniform, do exactly what they say or make a run for it. I'm only kidding with you. Because it's a jungle out there. And you say, well, what's that supposed to mean, Pastor? You see, there are changes in our society that we just, they kind of go over our head because we're happy in our little homes, raking our leaves and doing our grocery shopping and, you know, fixing up around the house. And we're kind of oblivious until maybe every 4 years we have to vote or something. And it's so difficult out there. Who do you trust? Like he says, there's disorder everywhere, and who's in charge? You know what I was thinking in reference to the elections? Are you sick and tired of the commercials? Oh, man, I can't wait till after Tuesday when the commercials start. But you know what I started to think? You listen to the commercials, the two candidates, and I love the way they put them one right after the other. This one says, he's a thief, he's a crook. You know, he's done this, he's done that. Then he comes on, and he says, she's a liar and a cheat. She voted for this 100 times. So I say to myself, one of two things is true here. If they're both telling the truth, they're both terrible people. Who would want to vote for either one of them? And if they're not telling the truth, then they're both liars. So who would want to vote for either one of them? I tell you, if I had the opportunity, I'd love to pass legislation that in all of these commercials, you cannot speak about your opponent. You should only be allowed to speak about what you're going to do, how I'm going to make things better, the things that I'm going to change. You shouldn't be able to knock down or degrade, because, you know, they do things subliminally and things you don't even accept. There's one, two that are battling for some local thing here. And if you don't pick up a little bit, you know, they'll say, what is the terminology? When someone hasn't really been charged with something, but they think... Allegedly. Okay, he says, so-and-so, you know, allegedly lied before the grand jury. Whoa, I don't want him as... But you don't pick up on that, allegedly. Allegedly means they just think he may have. There's been no formal charges. Nothing has been done. He hasn't been convicted. But that sticks in your head. You see, they're so deceptive. And like the song said, you know, there's confusion and disorder everywhere. Who's in charge here? We have the opportunity. You know, I know we're only small ones. We're not going to change the election. But if people like us all over the place finally get serious and make a difference, we must make a difference. You must vote. I mean, we went out, we voted early. It seems like everybody's voting early. Anybody here vote early? We went to one place. There must have been 300 people in the parking lot. I said, forget about that. We're not going to wait on that. And we finally went to another place, and there was only maybe 50 people out there, and it only took us about half an hour to get in and vote. But it's very, very important. Amen? So don't let this pass you by. We only have a couple days left. And what we're going to close this service out in a few minutes is with prayer, because prayer does change things. Amen? And we want you to participate as we come together in prayer. But there's something else I want to talk to you about. We did something very different last week. Were most of you here last week? Many of you were here last week. We had a joint service with another church, with Pastor Jimmy Jack in Destiny Church. And we've gotten some very good feedback. It went very, very well. We've been, for probably the last 5 years, because you have to have vision. You can't just let the chips fall as they may. We've been in charge as senior pastors of this ministry now for over 21 years. I've been in full-time ministry in this church for over 40 years. You know, so it's very, very important to me what happens with this ministry. We're not going to be around forever. None of us live forever. So you have to have vision for the future. Now, since COVID, you know, things have been difficult. You can see how many people we are here. COVID was actually a blessing to the ministry, to this ministry anyway, both the school and the church, because I put everybody on unemployment. All the employees in the church and the school, we all went on unemployment. And we actually were able to accumulate a little buffer. Okay, that's now almost 5 years ago. It's been getting more and more difficult to sustain a facility such as this. So we've been praying and we've been trying to think, you know, what is it that we should do in the future, you know, for full gospel. Now, like I said, I've been in ministry here over 40 years. I've seen pastors come and go. And very often when one goes, you just bring in another pastor to take over. And when they go, you bring in another pastor to take over. We didn't feel that that was necessarily the route to go, although we did consider it. And we did approach a couple individuals, young men, that we thought might be appropriate, might work well for the future of full gospel, but the Lord wasn't in it, and it didn't come to pass. And the Lord revealed to us that, you know, what might be a good way to go about this is to perhaps join with another ministry. There are a lot of small ministries out there, some without facilities such as this. So we began pursuing the possibility of, we went through several different ministries, and the Lord was not in it, and the Lord was not in it, and the Lord was not in it. Well, I approached, I've had a relationship with Pastor Jimmy for many, many years. He's kind of looked to me, I don't know, maybe because I'm older and white hair, you know, as kind of a mentor and a and for counsel, and we've met many, many times over the years. And, you know, if you remember, a couple of years ago, we had him come in just individually. I had him come in and share a message. And we began talking, because he has begun a small ministry called Destiny Church that was here with us last week up in Deer Park, and they meet in a Sons of Italy hall on Sunday morning. Yeah, so we began talking and thinking about the possibility of, you know, maybe coming together as a combined church. And so I said, well, let's have a service together. Let's just see how it goes, which we did last week. And went very, very well. So we're possibly proposing, seriously proposing, about perhaps merging the two ministries. Now, we're going to have, obviously, there's procedure that is involved in doing something like this. We'll be meeting with our board members to discuss it amongst the board and see how we feel about that and what it entails and what it looks like down the road. And then we'll actually have a membership meeting. Membership meeting, which we've done in the past, you know, usually after a service. And get your input and your intake, and we'll actually have to vote. It's only the membership that can vote, but we'll actually have to vote on whether we want to proceed with something like that. So I'm sharing this all with you for you guys to pray. And for those of you who are here or maybe not even here, I'd like to, it's still early, if you want to take a couple minutes, if you have any questions, I'd love to try and answer them for you. Questions, concerns, just something you'd like to share in light of what I'm sharing with you, the possibility of doing that. Anybody? Don't be.
They would come here?
Yes, they would join. They don't have a facility. Like I said, they're renting a Sons of Italy hall, you know. And, they would join us here. Glenn? Probably about close to 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
We've been praying. We've been meeting. We were seriously considering something a couple of years ago, but then the Lord led us in a different direction. Mm-hmm. But now he's brought us back into considering that vision now. Say that again. Jimmy?
Yeah.
I know Jimmy for many, many years. And Jimmy has gone through different stages of his life and different situations in his life, but he's an evangelist. He has a heart for Amityville, Copaig, Lindenhurst. Let me tell you something. He shared with me that a couple of years ago, he was offered a church somewhere in Nassau County, big church, a couple thousand people with a million-dollar home that would go along with it, a salary that would knock your socks off. And he turned it down because his heart is for this area, Amityville, Copaig, Lindenhurst. He has always had a heart. And he's a man, as those of you who are here, he's very excitable. He's got a lot of zeal, a lot of exuberance, and he's got the heart of an evangelist. He loves to do outreaches at Christmas time, at Easter time, back to school, gives away 50, 60 backpacks and bicycles at Christmas time, things like that. He's got a lot of zeal and whatever. So I know him very, very well. I probably know him better than most people know him because we've sat together for hours in council. I've held him accountable in various areas and, you know, poured into him. Otherwise, listen, like I said, I've been here a long time.
This is my home. This is my flesh and blood. This is my life. And it's been there since I was 36 years old. I'm an old man now, you know, but I've been here. I'm not going to just flippantly do anything that could in any way potentially bring harm to this ministry. It would be the last thing I would do. But at the same time, I know I have to make provision. We're getting older. We're not going to be here forever. And I have to make provision. Any other questions? Rich. Thank you.
I just want to say that because there was a question raised, I just want to say that our doctrine is the same.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, it is.
It was such a beautiful time last Sunday. It just felt so good. I came in late because I had something that was going on at home. And when I walked in, actually, worship was already over. But it was just, it felt so good. I couldn't believe it. I hardly found a parking spot, which I haven't been like that since, I think, because David was.
It was good to see the place. It was good to see the place full, and all his people that were here. They were just very. I don't know. I felt a good, a good blend amongst all the people. It was a very good time. A good service. Sister Davy. Amen. You know, they're a younger congregation. I hate to say we're an older congregation, but to some degree, well, we are. I would love to see some children's ministries back in this church again like we had many years ago, and I think that will happen. And I think the community will be impacted to a much greater degree than we're impacting it now. Amen. Any others? If not, oh, Rich, I'm sorry, I didn't see you over here.
Yeah, I just have one question. I think everything that's been mentioned is very valid, and I thought it was a wonderful service.
Hold on a second. Go ahead.
Having started three ministries, actually four ministries over the last 20 years myself, sometimes they are very, very positive and very good, but you don't always understand the most important thing up front, which is chemistry. If there isn't chemistry, a lot of times, even newlywed couples, chemistry is very good, and a year down the line, it's something that you didn't envision. So my question is there a way that as an agreement is made, that there would be a period of time that you would both look at it as mature brothers and sisters and make a decision based upon what's actually happening after it's been written for a while, you know, for a couple months or a year or whatever?
Yes. What we would do, because we've discussed this, if this was to come to pass, what we would do is have them join us. We would still be senior pastors of the church. Jimmy would take a role of, let's call it, lead pastor, in charge of ministry. Sunday morning service, maybe a midweek service, men's, women's ministries, outreach. He loves to do outreach and evangelistic. Anything ministry-oriented. Well, we would remain the senior pastors of the church over the whole thing at large for a period of time, whatever, however long the time. You got to understand, the school is also part of this ministry. For us to step out of the picture sooner or later, retire, whatever you want to call it, not that we're going anyplace, but I mean fully turn the ministry over, let's say, to another ministry. I have to know that the school is taken care of. There is somebody in place that's going to be able to do what I do down there.
And then as far as this whole facility is I mean, there's, I'm unfortunately, I've kind of boxed myself into a corner. You know, I'm in control of everything. All the accounting, the bookkeeping, the payroll, the taxes, the insurances, the inspections, the maintenance of the facility. So to get an individual or individuals to cover all of this is not going to happen overnight. You know, it will be a transition. Okay, so it's not going to happen, you know. We may be able to, if the board approves it and we get together with all the membership and the membership approves it, it could be just a matter of weeks before we start joining together, okay? But nothing is going to be done contractually, let's call it that, you know, let's put it that way, for a period of time until, you know, not only that there are things that have to be done because we have a constitution and bylaws and things that have to be done according to that, but also just to see how it works. Let's see. I mean, we had a wonderful service last week. They loved it. We loved it. You know, so, I mean, we got good chemistry. You know, I think it's going to work. I feel very, very positive about it. And we'll see what happens. So, you know, we'll keep you posted. Glenn.
Yeah, on the interim, do you still plan to have, like, combined services like every other month?
With the Spanish?
No, with their church.
Well, like I said, if the board approves it and the membership approves it.
Not a merge yet, but just like
a... Just a month, yes. The merge, you're talking about, like I said, contractually and... You know, all of that. But we could come together and start worshiping together almost immediately, you know, within a matter of a few weeks or so, you know. So if there's no other questions, you know, we'll keep you posted. Please pray, you know, because this is our church. This is not my church. It's not our church. It's all of our church. And like I said, we would never do anything that in any way, shape, or form we didn't think would be beneficial for this body here. Okay, we've been here too long, too much. God bless you. Brother.
Question about worship. Would they merge, combine the ones we have here and there? They have like a full band and a drummer.
They have a full worship team, which will probably be doing most of the worship. That's something that would be discussed with Rich, with Chuck, you know, whether that's going to work as far as them being involved, continue to be involved in that work. That's something that has to be worked out, you know, but we can work out anything. So I don't know where that's going to go. I would think at least in the beginning, it would be like it was last Sunday, you know, their worship team doing worship. And then we'll go from there as far as what's going to be down the road. All right? I'm excited. We're excited. I think you should be excited, too. You know, the Lord had that nothing stays the same. The only thing that never changes is change. You know, there's always going to be change. So, you know, go ahead, Rich. Amen. Amen. That's what we want. Like I said, and this hasn't been something overnight. We've been working on something like this for close to 5 years now. Really. Going all the way back, like I said, to starting with just individuals that could possibly come in and that didn't work. And then even other ministries that we've approached and prayed about and met with them and discussed it, and the Lord just didn't open those doors. And even with Jimmy and his ministry, we considered a couple of years ago, but it wasn't the right time. It just wasn't. But the Lord has brought us to this day and this hour. So we'll keep you posted. You know, we'll be having a board meeting tomorrow night. And then within a couple of weeks, we'll have a membership meeting. And we'll go from there. Amen? So what we said earlier is we want to close this service out with a time of prayer. For the election, I think it's more important than ever.
Should we have them come up? Maybe come up here. You feel it'd be all right to just come up to the front here. Let's gather as a family, and just we could just all gather here. It doesn't have to be a circle. Just all in the front, just like it was an altar call.
I want to say something also about what we were discussing. That I remember I did a retreat for Teen Challenge women. Congregants, and there was leadership there, and so I worked with the leadership, and I really enjoyed it and respected the leadership. And also, I also want to say that we approached Pastor Jimmy, and looked like a go, they were very excited about it. We were excited about it. This was about 3 or 4 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years ago. And all of a sudden, we felt not to do it. So we kind of like were meeting and planning, and it wasn't the right timing. That's what it was. And so Jimmy came in for one of the meetings, and Pastor said, "Jimmy, listen." He said, "We're going to take more time to pray about it. We're not going to go full speed ahead yet." He said, "Pastor, whatever you feel." He was just such a gentleman. "Whatever you feel," he said, "that's perfectly fine, because we want God's will also." And that was almost 3 years ago?
Almost 3 years ago.
We've been praying. We've been praying, because this was a very big deal for us, believe me. And make such a change like that. We take it very, very seriously, and we've really, really prayed. And then when we started working with them again, he was just a gentleman about things, and I want what God wants. And he said to us, "So I don't want you to feel any kind of pressure, anything like that." He said, "Just we're praying to hear God's voice." We believe we have heard God's voice, and it took a number of years to hear it. It's not something that we ran into or stumbled across, and it sounds like a good idea. So I just wanted to...
Amen.
I know.
Amen.
Do you want this? Oh, you've got one.
Yeah. I got my own.
Yeah. So we wanted to have a time of prayer,
yes,
for America. Okay.
For this election.
And where is Barbara Hassler? Oh, come on up, Barbara. Barbara, I would like you to start prayer, because when I prayed about it, I saw you praying, okay, and then we'll go from there.
You got it. Okay.
Well, Father, we do come before you, and we thank you first. Lord God, we thank you for America. Yes. And Father, we don't see America the way it once was. We see this new America. So, Father, we know in our hearts, Lord God, and we pray, Father, that you will give us the best of the two choices, Father, for this next 4 years. This is such a serious time in America. I don't like to bring up issues, but the one issue that's very dear and important to my heart, as it is to all the believers here, is the issue of abortion. Father, I don't like to mention names. There are two names here. And one name, Father, has lividly used the word abortion many times. Now she uses it. There is a different text now to this. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, for life. That would be my prayer, Lord God. Father, we have to consider the unborn. And Father, when they talk about these reproductive rights, Father, we have to think about the unborn. And Father, That is my prayer, Lord God, that goes out, Father. I believe in the airways, Lord God, that, Father, we would vote for the unborn.
Yes.
Father, I thank you, Lord God, that many of us here have had spiritual children. Many of us here have had physical children. And, Father, they belong to you, Father. So whether they were growing in our wombs or we were discipling somebody, Lord God, they are yours, just as I am yours. And I'm even the product, Father. My mom was very fearful when she became pregnant with me, and she had considered abortion. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that my mother just walked away from that. And, Father, yes. It even happened in my own husband's life.
Yes.
Father, so we both came to know, as we came to know each other, and that we were both thought about that there could possibly be an abortion. So, Father, this is near and dear to my heart, Lord God. And, Father, I pray, Father, that that day, and even this early voting, that we have considered, Father, that we have more than considered, but we know, Father, which way to vote. So I thank you, I praise you, Father. And Lord, I do pray for the two candidates, Lord God. I pray, Father, that they come to know you in such a real way, Lord God. The songs, You and Me, and Me and You, Father, to know him, to know truly, to know him. So, Father, that's my prayer for these two candidates, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Who else would like to pray? Lead out in prayer.
Father, I just want to thank you for my sister's heart and prayer, Lord God. We know, Lord God, that life itself is what's number one to you. You are the Father of life. You're the Creator of life. You called your Son to give his life that we would have life. Father, we thank you. You're all about life. I ask you, Lord God, that you would grace us with favor that is completely undeserved. This country does not deserve your favor nor your grace. As I see the polls, Lord God, it breaks my heart that even what is number one, Lord God, even to people who call themselves conservative, isn't life. It's the economy, our bellies. Lord God, it's the border, our sense of safety, but not for the safety of the ones that break your heart when their lives are taken. Yes. Forgive us, Lord God. I pray for repentance to sweep across the mindset of this country, Lord God, that you would begin to cause us to see and to be concerned with your heart. Father, I speak that especially to those within the church who call themselves Christian, brothers and sisters, some of which we know that aren't as concerned or maybe have an idea of being progressively minded and would allow that abortion to take place, Lord God. Father, forgive us. Renew in us a right spirit. You said, Lord God, if my people. And Father, I know that's an Old Testament scripture, but I know you don't change. Lord God, help us, Lord God, to turn away from the wickedness of the mixtures in our lives, Lord God, that we would be able to just stand and trust that. I just think, Lord God, of when your servant asked, if there be but 10 righteous, would you spare? Lord God, I pray that there are many more than 10 that are standing, Lord God. And Father, again, we just thank you. We ask for the mercy and the grace.
Yes.
We ask for a righteous rulership, understanding righteousness is what exalts this nation. So we ask for it, Lord God, understanding it's all of your grace. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Who else would like to pray?
Amen. Someone else want to pray? Lord, I want to pray also for the agenda of these two parties and the Democratic Party that is standing for even the transgender thing with the children. Lord God, they stand for that.
that the child, that the parents don't, which don't even have to know, and mm-hmm. the children think, oh, I want to be a boy or I want to be a girl, they'll just go along with it. And this vice presidential candidate, he believes that, oh God, and so does she. And so, Lord, I just ask you for that, oh God, for the children. There are so many mothers crying out. Let them, really, women, they're so, you know, so much about the their rights, reproductive rights, but that there are many that are standing for their children. Oh, God, let more wake up to that. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, I even think of, because of the border being open and hearing so much about the sex trafficking and children, mm-hmm. oh, God, yes. oh, Lord, that have yes. just been lost, hundreds of thousands of children yes. that they don't even know where they are, but you know where they are and you know what's going on. Yes. This is horrible, oh, God. This is evil. This is evil. This is a spiritual yes. war that we're in right now. And I just pray that you will just, Holy Spirit, rise up in us, that we will pray. We Amen. Will pray. We Amen. Will not give up. We Amen. Will pray until the election's over. And we just hope, oh, God, that it doesn't go on even many days after Tuesday, mm-hmm. Father, yes. that we will know, oh, God. Mm-hmm. Lord, please, for the sake of these children, oh, God, mm-hmm. in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I would even pray that after the election is over, Father, mm-hmm. I fear that there might be repercussions either way,
yes.
regardless of who wins.
Yes.
Because mankind is, and society is so fed up, mm-hmm. and that there's such strong opinions and feelings in either way, that, Lord, I just pray for protection. I pray for restraint upon the people. I pray for fairness yes. in the election, yes. Lord, that there would yes. not be fraud
yes.
to any
yes.
degree that would affect the outcome of the election.
Yes.
That it would be fair, that it would be accepted either way, Lord, and that there would be no violence or repercussions. We're trusting you. We're trusting you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I would, somebody else? Yes.
Thank you, Father. Father, I just pray for every election, Lord God, that will take place, not just the presidential election, Lord God, because there are lower level elections going on across this whole country, Lord God. Father, I pray for every election on Long Island, in New York, and in the Northeast region, and across this entire country, Lord God. Election of mayors and governors, senators and congressmen, Lord God, and all sorts of rulers in every area, Father God, that will affect the big scheme of things in the House and the Senate,
yes,
Father God.
Yes.
So, Father, I pray that you would raise up righteous rulers, Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
And, Father, I pray
yes.
that you would remove wicked rulers, Lord
yes.
God, in every place across this entire land, Lord
yes.
God, from sea to shining sea, from border to border, Father God. And, Father, I pray that your plans, your purposes, your will for this country, that you would cause that to come to pass, and that you would cause your people to pray for your plans and your purposes, not what's comfortable for us, Father God, but what you desire to do. Father, have mercy on us, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy on us, Lord God. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody else?
I just encourage you to continue to pray. If you haven't voted, get out there and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's a lot on the line between the gender, the abortion, and everything. You know, I heard just the other, you know, there's always a lot of little clever saying and cliches that go along with different issues like that. And I heard one the other day to me that was just so, you probably heard it, but I had never heard it before. And it's just so common sense. It says that, you know, when our heart stops beating, we're declared dead. How come when our heart starts beating, we're not declared alive? And I said, wow, how much more simple can it get than that? I mean, a heart starts beating, what, within a few weeks of conception?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we considered alive if we're considered dead when our heart stops?
Mm-hmm.
So much common sense. But anyway, continue to pray. Please, please vote. And go ahead, Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
6 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, spread that word around then, just to pray. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to Wednesday. I hope there's a result. Amen. God bless you all. Please pray about everything we've discussed this morning, and we will keep you posted as we move forward. The fellowship in the cafe.
It makes you wonder, you know, like if abortion is legal, how come if you shoot somebody that's pregnant, it's two counts of murder?
Yeah, right.